it's a short scripture today, and I want us to read this together. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. I want us to say it again, now that you've read through it once, and just read the first sentence. End with kind. We're going to start there. Stop there. Love suffers long and is kind. Have you heard this said in a different way? Love is what and kind? Patient. We're going to get into that. But I wanted to, in the scripture reading, you probably, this isn't the most common way of reading it, but I wanted you to say that this morning because I wanted you to kind of get into what it is we're going to be talking about. Lord, we thank you. Again, we come to you. We have read your word. We understand that there are things in your word that you desire us not just to know, not just to read, not just to be able to repeat to others, but to live out in our lives. And so, Lord, today as we come to you, as we look at really just this one phrase in your scripture, may it impact us in such a way that it may change our lives. This prayer we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are continuing on our series of spiritual simplicity, and it's also wrapped up and focused on love as well. So I want to go back and just quickly review what we've been doing. We started out on Valentine's Day, and we talked about all you need is love, and tied into that simplicity and said simple is good. Well, then the next week, last week we said love is simple, and talked about how love is simple, but not necessarily easy. We talked about how to love. We talked about less is more, and we talked about how it's all about focus and understanding what God's love for us really is and what our love can be for others. Well, today we're going to continue that, and today is what I think may be even more practical. And it's how love responds to hurt. And as I think about this, I think about myself, I think about my family, I look at each one of you sitting here. Most of you are experiencing some degree or some type of hurt right now. As Christians, a lot of times we push that aside. It's just a part of life. The people that you love the most and that love you the most are often the ones that hurt you the most. But there are people that you meet every day that hurt you and you hurt because we're human. And today we're going to talk about how love responds to hurt. So I know, and I don't want you to pretend this isn't for you. It's for everyone here. It's for Caleb and Noah, my youngest. It's for the deacons in our church who strive to serve. It's for the worship leaders who are up here leading us. It's for me. Because hurt is a part of our everyday lives. It's something we don't necessarily want to talk about. And when you leave here, I don't want it to be a downer, but I want us to be realistic about what's going on in our lives, because a lot of times we try to compartmentalize and push things away we don't want to think about, and we don't even have conversations with God about them. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to be able to share and talk to him about our hurts. So how love responds to hurts. And as you think about hurt, I want you to think about wounds, not necessarily physical wounds as much as wounds that have been placed upon you because of people, because of disappointments that you've suffered from people, because of things that have been done to you, because of things people said, because of being rejected, let down, talk to in inappropriate ways. But you know, we're not going to stop there. We're also going to talk about things we've done that have caused hurts to other people. How love responds to hurt. And now we get to that scripture talked about. And I, up until even yesterday, I was really focused more on love as patient. But I wanted us instead to see how love suffers long and love is kind really fits into this. If you think about, if you've often heard love is patient, what does it add to this meaning to say instead of just love is patient, love suffers long. How does love is patient and love suffers long help you to understand both of those terms? Anybody wants to answer, can. How does being patient connect? Why would a different version of the Bible say love suffers long? Any ideas? I want to throw something up. All right, pain. Does hurt, when you're hurt, do you feel pain? Yes. And so a lot of times, if we're talking about being patient, a lot of times patience, when we think of, is sitting at a stoplight waiting for the stoplight to change. And patience doesn't necessarily get at the root of what's happening when we've been hurt. Love suffers long. When there's suffering, there's pain that you feel. And patience means that it's going to last a while. So it's not even like you're just hurt and all of a sudden you're over with it and you go on. And this thing is going to aggravate me again. Brian, we need to fix my mic. I don't know how to fix it. But we need to have it changed by next week. All right. So, love suffers long. Maybe God put that in so we're done with that point. But I hope you get the idea. Love is suffering it. And when you're suffering, when we say that you need to be patient, love suffers long, it's going to take time. Well, did everybody receive one of these this morning? If so, I want you to hold it up because I want to see that you got it. Hold it up if you got it because you're going to need to have it in a minute. Anybody got one? All right, if not, they got some more up here they can hand out to you. Okay. This is to remind you, we just talked about the hurts that you have, and this right now is to remind you, as you look at it, you don't have to share anything. I just want you to think about the hurts that are in your life right now. And when you think of hurts, you can think of situations, you can think of people that may hurt you. What are the things right now that cause pain in your life? Just let this Band-Aid represent that. Don't open it yet. Just hold on to it. We're going to do something with it later. So, we've talked about long-suffering. Now, suffering, patience sounds like, and a lot of people talk about how patience just isn't easy. But as much as that's not easy, suffering is something that I would think we would say was even less easy. You put patience and suffering together, it can be a struggle. It's not fun. It's not easy. And when we do this, when we're suffering, one of the natural tendencies, one of our natural human tendencies, if we're suffering, if we're in pain, is to find someone to blame. Isn't it? If you think about things that have caused you pain, pretty quickly when you think about that pain that's been caused, aren't you able to associate someone with it that you think probably is responsible for causing that pain? That's a part of human nature. But instead, the scripture says, in the midst of long-suffering, in the midst of patience, we're to be kind. Love suffers long, love is patient, and love is kind. When you're hurt, is the first thing you think about being patient and kind? Not me. If it is, maybe you need to be up here preaching this sermon. Because that's not where I initially go. But I believe that if we understand the fullness of the type of love God wants us to be able to know and embrace, and are honest about our hurts and put those two together, it enables us to go to a place in our lives and live our lives in a way that other people are going to look at and say, how do they do that? That doesn't make sense. But it's exactly what God wants. So, how are we to be kind? And I want to suggest, I'm going to get right to this and then move on to something else. But when it comes to being patient and being kind, how are we to do that when we've been hurt? And you're thinking of one person. Two quick things I want to say. One is pray for that person. And it may be hard at times. Somebody that's caused you hurt and pain, when was the last time you prayed for someone, truly prayed, not just said, God, fix them, but really prayed in a loving way for someone who had hurt you? And you know, there have been times in my life that before I could do that, I had to pray to God to put me in a place to where I could pray for them. That's had to happen at times too. But try that. Try getting to a point, a person who's hurt you, try to genuinely pray for them in a caring way. And as you do that, recognize where the person is coming from and what they're going through and what they may be facing. Realize their life isn't perfect either. And you're not doing this to give them an excuse. You don't excuse people for mistreating you. But what it is about being able to reach out to them where they are. And that may not even mean physically approaching them, but if in no other way, if it's being able to pray for them about the struggles they have. You may not be at a place where you can go to them and have a conversation where it's reaching out to them in that way. But in some way, I believe that's what God desires us to do. And I believe with love that's being talked about in 1 Corinthians 13:4, that's exactly what we're being asked to do. Love suffers long and love is kind. Kind is a word we use all the time, but when it's used as a word in terms of what happens when we've been hurt, it's a big deal. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever done something that wasn't very nice to someone? Have you ever mistreated somebody? Have you ever made a mistake? And someone showed you that type of grace? If you have, I'm imagining it felt pretty amazing. Or maybe it caused you to feel guilty for what initially happened. Well, how love responds to hurts. The next thing I want to do is love provides perspective. And there's two ways of looking at perspective. One, love frames priorities, what is really important. And I believe this is asking us to look past the immediate. Look past to what just happened. Because I talked about the fact we experience hurts. There's opportunities for things to hurt you every day. It can be big things, it can be little things. And we can go through thinking about that and focusing on that as we go along. And that can be how we live our lives. Focusing on the little hurts or big hurts that come to us all throughout the day. But you know, I don't want to live my life like that. And God doesn't want us to live our lives like that either, not focusing on the hurts. Instead, we need to look at the big picture. We need to look at the big picture of what God has to offer, the big picture of the people that surround us, not just the people that we love and care about and the people that love and care about us, but the big picture of the people that we come in touch with every day and what love looks like in the context of what God calls us to do. And some of those very people that we're trying to embrace in that big picture are going to be the people who hurt us. And we can know that that's going to happen, but I believe we can anticipate that in such a way that it doesn't have to be what defines our life. We're going to have hurts, and I've asked you to think about what those hurts are. And I'm not saying to put those hurts aside and not deal with them, but don't let them define your life. Because God wants us to share them with Him, deal with them in such a way that then we can embrace the joy. God is all-powerful. God is almighty. And yes, there are going to be hurts that come because of the life we live, but God is bigger than those hurts. God is bigger than the things that come into our lives that cause us pain and heartache and trouble. But sometimes we act like that's the biggest thing that's going on with our lives, and so we don't have room for God to bless us. We don't invite God to help us to overcome those in such a way that we can be who God wants us to be. And somehow or another, those people who we accuse of hurting us, the people who are doing all this, we're basically giving them more power in our lives than we're giving to God. Have you ever thought about it that way? When you allow someone to hurt you in such a way, now, you may not have control over what they do. And I'm not saying it isn't going to cause hurt, but when that's where you live, you're giving more credence in your life, you're giving more time, you're giving more importance in your life to that person who hurt you than you are Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and loved you enough to do that, to pay the price for your sin so you could live eternity with Him and the Father. So we need to rethink how we deal with hurt sometimes and looking at the big picture. So I say again, love is patient. Now you understand what patience is. Love is patient. And love is kind. Next point, love diffuses pressure. understanding and having God's love in your heart enables you to show grace to others. And I am not kidding. I spent time, I almost every Sunday morning, you can ask my boys, I get up early Sunday morning and I go back through my messages that I prepared and put notes together for. And if you look at the PowerPoint, if you look at any notes that I put, grace was nowhere in anything I wrote. But if you look at this point that I've got right here that I redid this morning, grace is one of my primary points. I agree with Linda. Somebody here today needs to understand and know grace. Not necessarily in the way I may be putting it, but you need to know it. If Linda and Taylor have had that and then it was affirmed in a way of me being focused on this, somebody needs to listen to about what's come up and not because I put it. Love diffuses pressure. So hurt, pain creates pressure in our lives and it causes us to respond to things sometimes in ways that we shouldn't. But grace, first of all, let's define what grace is, because it's saying that understanding, having love in your heart, this type of love that is patient and kind, enables us to show grace to others. But to do that, we have to understand what grace is. Grace is undeserved favor, forgiveness, or acceptance. Grace, undeserved favor, undeserved forgiveness, undeserved acceptance. And first and foremost, we have to understand that God shows us grace. We don't deserve any of the grace or mercy, love that God has bestowed on us. And he did that by sending his son to die on a cross. And because of that, we're able to have everything that God gives us. We're able to have a relationship with a father that loves us. We're able to have an intimate relationship where every day we can commune with the father of the universe. And we can hear, if we have ears to hear, how he wants us to live our lives and be a part of supporting us through the struggles that we're facing. And we don't deserve any of it. But God is there and God provides for us and gives us. And sometimes we think we're earning it. We think it's us. But if you really pay attention, what we have comes from God. And there is nothing we can do to deserve it or earn it. And when we understand that, then it makes a lot more sense to understand how we display grace to others. But before I get there, where do you need grace in your life? We talk about grace. And we know that God can forgive, but sometimes we hold on to things out of guilt because Satan says we're not worthy, because we're in some type of habit that we don't seem to be able to break. But my guess is there's some person, some people right here today that in the midst of your life, there's something that just, and pardon my French, but crappy in your life right now. And maybe you're hiding it. Maybe a few people know about it. Yeah, no, that wasn't French. I don't know what language it was. But you know what I'm talking about. It's just yuck in your life. And you're living with that. And that's how you see yourself. And you feel like you can't get rid of it. It's just who you are. You don't like that part of who you are. God's grace says you don't have to live with it. God's grace says, let me take that from you. God's grace says, I can part your sins as far as the east is from the west. Your imperfections can be taken away in such a way that you're washed as white as snow. It's like getting a do-over in life. We're going bowling today, and my guess is there's going to be at least one or two that something's going to happen. They're going to bowl, and the ball's just not going to do some right. It's going to mess up, and we're going to feel like that just wasn't fair, that Ben needed to get a do-over. And so we get to wipe that score doesn't count, and he starts all over again wherever he was. God provides us with grace that allows us, if we come to him and say it, he allows us to have a do-over in life. And some of us need to know that. But then that leads us to who in your life
needs a do-over from you.
Who in your life are you struggling with, are you dealing with, that you need, they need from you a fresh start? All right, let's do it over. Let's start back from the beginning. There's somebody. And if you figure out who that is and you take care of that today, and it will make an awesome difference in your life if you do that. It won't be the last time you need to do it. This is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. This leads me to the next point, that is the trivial becomes important. The trivial becomes important. The important things then become trivial. And a lot of times those things that become that we think are important in our lives are a task. The things that we have to do, the things on our checklist that are there when we wake up in the morning that are going through our head before our feet hit the floor. The pressure and the things that like this get in the way of what really matters. And you know, a lot of times these things, these tasks, these matters that are right at hand, we actually use them as an escape in order to not deal with what's really important. The things that matter are love relationships. I want you to hear this. The things, when I said the trivial becomes important, a lot of times the things that we think are trivial are those relationships we take for granted. And first and foremost, it can be our family. They're always going to be there. They deal with the junk that we dish out with them. They deal with the bad moods when we come home when we've been dumped on at work. So that's one place. But then there are other times we have friends or we have other people that we know could benefit from having time and relationship there. But we always have these tasks. We always have something to do, some place to go, some things that need to get done. Yard work that needs to happen. My house that needs to be cleaned. Clothes that need to be washed. A car that needs to be fixed, grass that needs to be mowed. And so many times those things take, now they need to be done, but those things so often take priority over what God would really want us to do. And that's the point of it. It's not us figuring out what we need to do when, it's us having a relationship with God that He helps us to understand this. And in the midst of relationships, I want to get back to what we talk about. How does love handle hurt? You have to address the hurts in our lives. And all too often we say, well, yes, I got hurt. Yes, we had an argument. Yes, we haven't talked for a while, but I got all this other stuff to do, so we don't deal with it. Hurts need to be addressed. Unattended hurts fester and grow and become infected just like a physical hurt. If you had a cut across the top of your hand from one side to the other, would you do something about it? Would you? Would you at least go wash it off? And maybe you would even need to do more. Maybe if it's bad enough, you'd even need to go to the doctor and they might put stitches on it. But you need to take care of it. It needs attention. And the same is true with emotional hurts. If you just let them stay there, they're going to grow and fester. If that happens, if that stays there and it's not attended, it's going to grow, it's going to fester, it's going to become nasty and ugly. You aren't even going to be able to use that hand. And if you don't ever do anything about it, eventually it can come up and it can cause you to have to get rid of your hand. Emotional hurts can be the same way. It can destroy parts of your life. Yet people, because they can't see them the way they see the cut on their hand, don't pay attention to the fact they need to be dealt with. Love enables us to do that. Now, I'm not saying to wallow in your hurt, but you do need to know, we need to know that healing takes time and care. It's not often a one-time fix. It's not like if I've got that cut, and it's a pretty bad cut, I'm going to be able to go put stuff on it, put a Band-Aid, and it's taken care of and I never have to do anything again. I may have to redress it a few times. I may have to put more medicine on it. I may even have to go to the doctor and make sure it's healing the way it needs to be healed. It needs attention, and the same can be true with physical. Just because you have a conversation, you address it once, you deal with it, it doesn't mean it's all and forever done with. Now, you don't go back and keep doing the same thing over and over again. You need progress. But that's what happens when how love responds to hurt. It pays attention to the hurts. It doesn't ignore them. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't ignore. Less is more. I talked about this a little bit last week. Less is more is a part of us fighting culture. And I'm going to say this was from last time. Don't fall into the bigger, better, more trap. If we do that, it makes us focus on ourselves. And we may not even realize it at times, but if you're focusing on the bigger, better, more, it's going to result in loneliness and emptiness moving from place to place. If you think that a relationship and the hurts you've got, you can't deal with that anymore, so you move on to something better, or you have to have something more, and you keep moving. Have any of you just got so many hurts you've had in your life, if you think back, and it's caused you to move from one thing to another, and it's never really resulted in happiness? This is what I'm talking about. It's a part of that cultural thing where we believe that we have to have bigger, better, and more, and we even do it in these types of aspects of our lives. When you are hurt, love suffers long. It doesn't necessarily try to get ahead. When you're hurt, there's some sense in which if you are able to deal with that hurt, then you can put it behind you and move on. And I'm not saying there's not going to be a scar there. It probably will be. But if you've dealt with it enough that healing is there, and even if it leaves a scar, I've heard, and this is another whole sermon, but scars can be beautiful. Scars can remind you of the strength that you've had in your life. Scars can remind you of the past of where you've been and enable you to learn from that. Scars can remind you of love that you have experienced and love that you've given. Scars can be beautiful. Love is simple, but not easy. This has not been a feel-good message. We don't like to come and sit and talk about our hurts or talk about when we've been hurt or talk about when we have hurt others. But it's a part of what love has to offer us. Allow love to come into this part of your life. Love isn't just about the feel-good times. Love enables us to deal with the difficult times. I do believe love is simple in the way Paul has put it in 1 Corinthians 13, but I am not saying it's easy. There's a quote, and much more so than in the past few messages, I took kind of an outline, some of the ideas that many of you are going to be going right into now when you look at your small groups, and this quote is one of the things that is from. This says, love is giving another person what they need the most when they deserve it the least, at great personal cost by the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. I'm going to read that again. I want you to follow on the screen and think about what that means. Love is giving another person what they need the most when they deserve it the least, at great personal cost by the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. That's love. I want you to take out your Band-Aid now. Go ahead and take it out of its little paper package. Does anyone remember what I said this Band-Aid was supposed to represent initially when you're looking at it? What does it represent? You can answer. Your hurts. Your pains, maybe even certain people who hurt you. That's what this represents. Now I want you to find a pen. There should be some in the pews. You might have to share one with somebody behind you. And this is what I want you to write. Don't write your hurt. Don't write your pain. Don't write the person's name. On this, I want you to write, love is patient, love is kind. Write on this. Do you have one, Justin? You came in late. I'm going to give you one. Write, love is patient, love is kind. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to put that somewhere. Put it in your Bible. Stick it on your mirror. Put it wherever you're feeling led to put it. And let this be a reminder. This week, when you're facing a hurt, when you're struggling with somebody who has done you wrong, I want you to go back and remember, love is patient, love is kind, and that patient refers to long suffering. And that kindness may be connected to grace. But I want us, this love that God gives us, I want it to become a part of this difficult part of our lives that we shove aside when we don't want to feel it so often. Because once it gets taken care of, Satan can't use it to rear its head to rob us of the joy God desires to give us. I'm going to invite the praise team to come up and have our closing song. And as they do, I need you to hear what I'm going to say now. In coming and talking about something like this, it feels so inadequate for me as a speaker, as a preacher, as I care about you, I care about your hurts, and we've talked about it, and I feel like just talking about it and what we've did in some ways may have just scratched the top off of a wound and exposed it. If you've allowed yourself to go there, that could have happened. You could just right now be thinking about the hurt that you're feeling. You need to go beyond that. There needs to be healing. And one of the best ways for that healing to take place is to be able to share that in community, in a safe place, to be able to recognize and have accountability in doing what we talked about in this message. And there are going to be many of you that are going to leave here, and you're going to go do exactly that. We have small groups that are available here. And in the small group you have today, you're going to process a lot of what we just talked about. But there's some of you, you have responsibilities. You can't go to the small groups we have here. Or you may be working with the children, and so you aren't going to be able to go to your own small group time for that reason. But please, seek out one or two other people to begin having this type of conversation with about the hurts, about grace, about how God wants to deal with those hurts in a way that puts them behind us or enables us to grow from them and not become a place we live. Let's stand together and sing. No.